The text is the gospel reading, but the gospel reading, you can see on the back of your insert, leaves out some verses I think are real important, so we'll read 10:1-20. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them 2 by 2 ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among the wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking, whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. For it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Here ends our text. Don't you find it irritating when you give lengthy directions to where something is and you get the response, "It's where?" Either the person can't make sense of your directions or believes it isn't where you say it is. Our lengthy text brings a similar reaction from me. The kingdom is where? The kingdom of God is where the king sends forth workers. The text describes their work as heralding the message of their king that his kingdom has arrived. A king needs heralds to get his message out to all the kingdom. It's not enough for him to send notes or letters. No, he sends a man, a personal representative. That's important to recognize. The king's herald goes in the king's authority, not his own. You mess with the herald, you'll answer to the king. You reject the herald, you reject the king. It's still that way today. You mess with the census taker, and you're messing with the federal government. The king's herald has no authority to alter the king's message. You've seen those Robin Hood type movies where the herald rides into the town square, unrolls a scroll, and says, "Hear ye, hear ye." Then he reads exactly what's on the scroll. He doesn't change it to suit his hearer's ears. How concerned you ought to be about this in our day and time. Paul specifically warns Pastor Timothy, the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. This is most often done in the name of missions, to get people in the door, to bring in the harvest. Two things to note. It's the Lord's harvest, not the herald's, not the layman's. I dare you to drive up to a farmer's house and start telling him how he ought to do this or that to bring in his harvest. Better yet, I dare you to hop his fence and start bringing in his sheaves. Second, the Lord's harvest is only brought in by his means. The only way the Lord Jesus brings in His harvest is by His gospel purely heralded and His sacraments administered as He instituted. You can gather people and money by all sorts of things, but you only gather souls with the tools Jesus left. And those tools belong in the hands of the heralds He sends. Isn't that what Paul concludes in Romans 10? How can people believe in one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? Look how many the Lord has sent through you people. The Lord's heralds are in Kansas, Nebraska, and Texas through you. And there are two more on the way out. But even though you sent them, and even though you support me, we remain the King's heralds, not yours. That should be comforting to both heralds and you for two reasons. One, the Lord's heralds are sent out like lambs among wolves. Do you really want that responsibility? One thing I've seen in every president I'm old enough to remember is that sending troops into harm's way has weighed heavy on them. Second, though the ones the heralds are sent to are to feed, clothe, and shelter them, it's the Lord of the harvest, it's the King of the kingdom, who takes away their worry of being cared for. He tells His heralds not to take any of the normal necessities of a traveler, not to greet people as fellow travelers, because they're not just traveling. They're on the king's business. So the king ultimately will see that they're taken care of. The kingdom of God is where? It's where the king has sent forth heralds and where the king's heralds are received. Actually, that's not exactly the case. It's not the herald's person that is received. It's his message. And what's my message? Surprisingly enough, it's that the king is at peace with you. Why is that surprising? Because the king has every reason to be at war with you people. You don't fear, love, or trust in the king as you should. You don't use the name of the king to pray, praise, and give thanks, but to joke, to exclaim, and to profane. And don't even get me started in how you treat his word. You despise it by not holding the preaching and teaching of the king's word sacred and by not gladly hearing and learning it. You would tremble more than you do if you didn't live in America. When a city doesn't follow the federal government, monies are withheld and people are taken to court. When a city gave Rome a reason to be angry with it, Rome destroyed that city, tortured all her leaders, killed all the men, and made slaves out of the women and children. Go home and read the 10 verses that follow the Old Testament reading. God brings down temporal and eternal punishment on those who do not listen to His word, says Isaiah. In comparison then, Rome was gentle on those who rebelled against her, because she only brought down temporal punishment on them. But, as I said, I don't come here today proclaiming judgment, but peace be to this house. The king has made peace with you. All the commandments that you cannot keep, he made his son responsible for, and he kept them in your place, in your stead. But then, he sent that son to the cross to suffer all the temporal and eternal punishment that this rebellious house deserves. Down to the last drop, Jesus drank the cup of the king's wrath. The king looked and looked for a reason to be angry with you, a reason to send you to hell for eternity, and a reason to punish you with sickness, disease, and affliction now. But he could not find one single reason for doing any of that. The kingdom is where the king's peace, announced by his herald, is received. And that is shown by your amen in the divine service. I place my hand on the altar where the body and blood of Christ are, the same body and blood that made peace for you on the cross, and I say, the peace of the Lord be with you always. And you say, amen. Likewise, at the altar, after eating and drinking Jesus' body and blood, I say, depart in peace. And you who are going away with that peace in your very bodies and souls, say, amen. The kingdom of God is where the peace of the king in the mouth of his herald is received. And this is shown by their amen of faith and by their providing for the herald. The kingdom is also where the miracles of the kingdom are experienced at the hands of the herald. And that's right. The sick are healed, Satan is cast out, and all the power of the evil one is overcome by the words of eternal life I proclaim, and by the baptism, absolution, and communion I administer. It is a bigger miracle to heal someone of death than it is of sickness. It is a bigger miracle to reborn someone to everlasting life than it is to restore their health. It is a bigger miracle to lift the guilt off of a person's soul than it is to lift a burden off of their body. It is the biggest miracle of all to put the body and blood of God into the hands and mouths of sinners for life. The kingdom is where? Where the king sends forth heralds, where the heralds are received. And wonder of wonders, it's where the king's heralds are rejected. Because people don't believe the king's heralds, because they don't receive the king's peace from his lips and hands, and because they refuse to provide for him, does not mean the kingdom of God isn't there. Unbelief doesn't nullify the kingdom. At Calvary, who believed Jesus was God's peace? No one. Yet the kingdom was there, indeed, the very king himself. Yet, this isn't known or shown till judgment day. We learned that from the verses left out of our insert. On the last day, when all the people who've ever lived stand before the Lord, it'll be more bearable for the homosexuals of Sodom than for those who reject the Lord's heralds. On judgment day, it'll be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon, two Old Testament cities who wanted nothing to do with the faith, than it will be for those who've looked at God's word or his holy sacraments and yawned. They've looked and yawned, saying, there's nothing miraculous, nothing special, nothing sacred, nothing powerful there. On the last day, even those in closest outward association with the king's heralds will be cast down with Capernaum, the city which Jesus lived in, if they too didn't receive Jesus' peace. Now, I'm not saying any of that to warn you. I'm saying it to comfort you. Right now, it looks like God's kingdom is confined to little groups of people here and there. On the last day, you will see that unbelief has not stopped the kingdom from being everywhere. Even where the heralds of the kingdom have been persecuted, mocked, ridiculed, and rejected. Even there, you can be sure of this one thing. The kingdom of God was there. The Sodoms, the Bethsaidas, the Tyres, the Sidons, the Capernaums, as well as the people that cling to these earthly kingdoms, which look so powerful, so everlasting, so prosperous, so confident, so happy, they're going to be shown to be no more than dust compared to the kingdom of God that they rejected. It is so important that real heralds of the King of Kings keep being sent out, even if they are met by unbelief in small numbers, because Satan falls wherever the crucified king is preached. Here, Jesus says in response to the return of the 72 that he saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Connect this with John 12, where Jesus says he will be crucified, and then says, now is the prince of this world cast out. When the real king arrives, all pretenders to the throne are thrown out. But here's the catch. The real king arrives on a cross, crucified, weak, apparently powerless. But this is the only king that can cast Satan out. So this is the one the herald must proclaim, though few listen, believe, or even care. The kingdom of God is where? is not necessarily where there are lots of people, lots of good feelings, or even lots of good works. It is where the King is. He's in these words. He's in that font. He's on that altar, eager to be in your ears, your hearts, your mouths for forgiveness, life, and salvation. And to this proclamation by the King's herald, the people say, Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting. Amen.